Hi, my name is Frankie. Thank you for listening to Two My Mom. I never listen.
In honor of Play for K Week, Debbie has decided to have a couple of different podcasts related to K-Yal and her impact on the game. In this first episode, we have Summer Herb, Kristen Gillespie, and Marquetta Dickens, three former players joined Debbie, three former players of K-Yal joined Debbie to talk about what it was like playing for Coach Yao, first going and being a camper at K-Yal's youth camps, and then later being camp counselors at those same youth camps, and the impact they were able to have on campers, hoping to have the same as the players that had the impact on them when they were the actual campers at those camps. The unique way of discipline that Coach Yao had, they tell so many great stories, and I know that I'm not going to do it justice by trying to do that here in the intro. So I'm just going to let Debbie have it, and y'all enjoy Summer Herb, Kristen Gillespie, and Marquetta Dickens with Debbie Antonelli on the Nothing But Net with Debbie Antonelli podcast.
Man, you know what? Your smiling faces just make my day and light up the world. And the one thing that we know we all share in common is an incredible love for K-Yao. And this is a special week. Now, we, as former players, celebrate her all the time. But I want to know, when you guys think about Coach Yao, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? And I'll start with you, Summer. And then we'll do Marquetta and then Chris. Tell me what you think, Summer, when Coach Yao's name comes up.
I just remember her loving person. She was very embracing and all-encompassing. I didn't necessarily fit, I think, the profile of the student athlete that would come to Coach Yao when I showed up. And I probably didn't leave that way either. However, she had a huge impact on me, and she was able to overlook some of my personality, and just embrace me as part of her family and part of her teams.
So I'll say for me, when I think of Coach Yao, I think of a transformative leader. Coach Yao was light years ahead of the game in terms of coaching. I really believe that was due in part to her being an educator. And so, you know, like Summer said, it didn't matter what personality you came with. She found a way to motivate you. And I really believe that's due to her faith and her spirituality and her being an educator. And so those are the things that really I remember, because it was nothing that you could do to fall from her graces. She always was there for you no matter what. And that was something that was very, very special about her. It didn't matter who you were, if you were a player or not.
I agree, Marquetta. What I loved about, I mean, there's hundreds of things that I love about Coach Yao, but I think it was her innate ability to make you feel like you were the most important person in the world at that moment. You know, the good days, bad days. When she talked to you, when she looked you in your eyes, you know, it was almost like the world stopped, and, you know, you knew you had her attention and you knew she cared. And what I loved is, you know, I had a unique perspective being a player and then being a GA and then being on her staff. It wasn't just the players that felt that, her staff. It was, you know, the campers at day camp. It was, you know, through her very public battle with cancer. It was, you know, other women going through the similar battles. I mean, you walked away feeling so much better about your situation, about, you know, just your day, just in those brief moments of speaking with her.
One of the things we all share in common, besides having played for Coach Yao, is that we were all either A, campers and or counselors. And summer camp at NC State was always a way to bring us all back together. I always think we're so lucky that we played for the same coach, even though it was different decades. Marquetta, when when you were a camper, we were counselors. We remember you as a player. When you think about your camp experience, can you think about some of the fun things that maybe you did or experienced as a high school kid at camp? And then when you became a counselor in our camps, what was the difference?
I actually started going to Coach Al camp in fifth grade. I was going to the sixth grade. And the one thing that I remember was the players and how personal they were, you know, personable they were with the campers. Mo Bates was my favorite at the time. I still have a Skittles paper where she signed and I posted it on my KEL camp t-shirt. I have I don't know if you can see it here.
Oh, yeah.
I have this in my office. And so those pictures meant a lot. And that was my first year as a counselor. And so for me, I wanted to make sure that I gave the campers what every other student athlete before me gave. And that was their time, their energy, their expertise. And just like Coach Al made us feel like we were the most special person in the world at camp, we made our campers feel like they were the most special people in the world. And from that, I remember probably when I first started coaching, I got an email from a KL camper. She's like, I remember you told me how to do my first layup. Like those things are like so cool to see come full circle. So for me, it's the running joke is I am the longest. What is it? I'm the longest. I was the person who went to KI camp the longest. It might be true. I don't know. But it was just such a fun environment to be in. I remember the Banana Split song, of course. I remember Terry Scott White. It's just all the fun that we had on top of playing basketball and getting to know everyone was great. And from that, honestly, we kind of really built a family. I give you an example, Coach Wendell Holmes. I remember him from Coach Al camps and being a camp counselor. He's now one of our assistant coaches here at William Peace. Like that's the type of family and that Coach Al created. And I don't know if that was intentional or not, but that's the kind of love that she showed everybody. And that's the loyalty that we have for her. And we just really created a family environment around that, even at camp.
Summer, I remember you at camp as a 6'6", sort of like jungle gym, where kids were just hanging off of you and having so much fun. You were so much taller and bigger than everyone. And I'm guessing some of these little girls have never seen anybody as tall as you, and they just gravitated to your personality. What do you remember about the fun stuff at camp?
Working with the kids was fantastic. Chris and I would pair up quite a bit, and we would be co-coaches for teams. And Those moments that we had with those kids were so much fun. And the gym, we would go over to Carmichael and the gym would be so loud between Chris screaming at him and me screaming at him, encouraging him, just clapping and laughing and joking with him. I remember that. And then, like Marquetta said, creating a family, that was everybody, all the old heads would come back and work camp. And that's how we were able to navigate through the generations and through the decades, become friends with and know the history of the program, be able to pass that down to the campers.
Chris, what do you remember? And to take off of Summer's point, do you feel like there's something lost about summer camp now with the way the game has gone since you're coaching, you know, at such a high level in D1?
Yeah, I don't think... You know, I think those days are kind of in the past. You know, everything now is like a one-day elite camp. It's for a recruiting purpose. There were so many organic, just great memories for young. You know, I grew up going to summer camps, and I think that is lost. And it's just the memories that are built. And that was such a neat thing, being on coach's staff in those final years of, you know, in her last season or two, how many former campers would reach out, would come to games, would make a point to, you know, say, hey, I know you don't remember me, but I went to your camp 20 years ago. And it was so neat to see, but it's just sad because it was such a, man, that was the best times. Those are some of my most favorite memories as a player, as an adult. I don't know why Coach Yao, when I was a GA, let me run the day camps. If you ask the former players, I think those might be some of our all-time favorite memories, especially the camp social for the staff after camp was done. you know, Summer was in charge of that too. So we'll just leave it like that. But I think Summer hit the nail on the head. Debbie, I don't know if we would be as close as we are if it wasn't for those summer camps. Those are when I really got to know you, and other, players that came before me. And it meant so much because in those last couple of years, when all the former players rallied around Coach, those relationships have been established through summer camps. We knew each other. It wasn't like we were just meeting you guys for the first time, because of a really tough situation. And I think we really relied on each other to get through. That was one of the hardest times of my life when Coach passed away. But I knew that I had 100 sisters that were going through the same thing and knew how I was feeling.
I think I held Summer's hand and cried on her shirt sleeve the entire funeral, just because we were just sitting. We just happened to gravitate to each other when it came time to sit there and go through that, what you might call celebration of life. I'm not sure. But before we get to that, I want to ask you guys to talk about, and the statute of limitations is gone on everything. So you can say whatever you feel like you want to say. I've already... feel like I have been transparent and have confessed all of my sins to Coach Al by now. So what I want to ask you is, think about a situation that may have happened, whether it was a camp or on campus, because people ask me this all the time. What was Coach Al like, and what was she like, and how did she handle discipline? And I always say, she never really yelled at us. She just explained to us why it was important to make a better choice, but you always felt like you let her down. And if you disappointed her, it was the worst feeling. So if anybody wants to go first, like a situation, for me, like for example, was me getting a technical foul my freshman year on the bench, which no player in the history of NC State has ever done that. I'm not going to launch into that story, but I'm just going to say that when I finally did speak to her, it wasn't her yelling at me. It was more her explaining why it was great that I had energy, but why it was important to keep it contained in certain situations. And there's another story to that I will tell to all of our podcast listeners some other time. But I want to know, like, Marquetta, was there some situation that you can remember? Because I know we used to sneak out at camp, even not as campers, but as counselors, when you're supposed to be in the dorm, and she always knew.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that. I talk to my players about that all the time. They want me to yell. I'm like, I'm not a yeller. I'm not used to that. Coach Al never yelled. You're so right. It was an incident where I got into some trouble off campus, and Coach Al found out about it. And, I felt like it was people weren't listening to me. They weren't hearing me out and so on and so forth. And Coach Al, she didn't ask me to come to the office. We went to McDonald's. And I remember sitting in her car in McDonald's parking lot, and she just listened. And I was so angry and I was so frustrated. And she just looked at me and she said, Q, I'll never forget it. She says, Q, you need to be more quick to listen, slow to anger. And I just looked back at her and I was like, okay, Coach. and that was it. We never spoke about it again. From that moment on, even before then, I just had this level of respect for Coach Al. But after that moment, I really knew she cared about me as a human being more than I knew before. And it wasn't because of my basketball talents. It was just because of who she was as a human being and her always being able to see the potential and want the best for the people that was in her care. And so I really take that into my coaching style now today, because I'll never forget that.
Summer, do you want to share just one? We know you had a couple of progressions in college, but we don't want to go into the whole list. We just want to share one that would provide a great message like Q just shared.
Jeez, I'm not that bad. I remember I had a job that I hadn't told Coach about, but during that time, I also liked to go out a lot. And I know Coach knew about me going out. People would come back and report to her about that. But that all got brought into a conversation because somebody had seen me at work and they had told Coach about it. And Coach called me into the office and I'm thinking it's just a regular, hey, how you doing? She said, what's going on at night? What are you talking about, coach? Well, you got X, Y, and Z going on, and now you have a job and you're a student athlete. We can't do all this. You have to get your priorities straight. You're here for school. And at the time, I didn't quite understand. She wanted me to quit right away, which I didn't understand that either, because my name was attached to that. And I was like, well, I made a commitment to them, just like I made a commitment to you. We went through it further and talked, and she had a way of being able to explain to me that the importance of priorities and my commitment level to what I've joined, and to my teammates and to the university and to my school or schooling. And we were able to talk through it. She wasn't mad about it. It was just something that had to be taken care of. And I was young and trying to navigate my way through everything. And she was able to provide some insight in a different way that I was finally able to understand at the end of the conversation, and it helped greatly improve my on-court things, because I didn't think any of it was affecting it. But she was able to show me some numbers and things and say, yeah, this is having a detrimental effect on what you're doing here and what you potentially want to do.
Whatever that conversation was, Summer, I'm sure it helped you become the 1999 ACC Player of the Year. So I know that led to greatness inside you. And speaking of honors, the second best non-stat starter in the history of NC State would belong to Kristen Gillespie, because I'm first. That's an honor that Coach Al bestowed upon me late in her career. And I'm proud to wear that badge for all NC State women. Chris, a situation maybe that you got yourself into, and remember, your student athletes will probably be listening to this.
Q, she still hasn't given up the dream, Q. You know, I just, some people, it's hard to let go, you know, holding on to those glory days. But I will say that I think I was in contact with Coach. You know, I had my conversations were probably that, you know, yours was a little bit. I talked to her in the last day or two, and I can't share those conversations, but I do know she made sure to let me know that, you know, she just held up the one, and I said, Coach, I know, Coach, it's okay. I won't tell Debbie. No, Summer will tell you. I think as a player, I tried to be pretty straight-laced and until my senior year, then I finally gave in, and Summer finally convinced me to you know, yeah, live a little bit. But I just remember with me, it was more like for my leadership of just, I mean, Summer and I were the best of friends, and I loved Summer, and our conversations, Coach and I, would be how I can help our team and how I can be a better leader, not on the court, but like off the court, and just making better decisions and helping people. And, you know, I'll never forget the summer, Coach Yao, she always let us, it's so different. She always let us go home in the summers. Like, that's unheard of now, because you didn't have access. And Summer knows where I'm going with this. I got called in the office, and she's like, you know, I need you to be better. And I'm like, oh God, okay, what do I need to do? She goes, you have to stay here this summer. And I was like, oh, okay. And she's like, we need people on track. We need people to be focused, and that's on you. And I'm just like, oh, okay. You know, all of us, we would do anything for Coach Yao. And I don't know. I just, it wasn't about me. It was, you know, how can I, you know, I loved my teammates. The love I have for Summer is incredible. But, you know, how can I be a better teammate for her? How to be a better teammate for my other teammates, of just not on the court, but off the court? And I think that's something that's really stuck with me and tried to instill with our players. Like, I get it. You want to have a little bit of fun, but, you know, we always have to make great decisions. And, you know, who's going to be that voice of reason? Who's going to be the, you know. But I did. I'm not gonna lie. Senior year, I won't talk about the New Year's Eve practices. That's a story. You talk about letting Coach down. She never yelled at us, but she intentionally. We had practice New Year's Eve, I think from 8 to 10 p.m., and then we had practice New Year's Day at 8. and the managers just had set up trash cans at each corner, and it was us. And Summer and I will throw myself into it, we may have spearheaded the entire team, every last one of us, to go out that night. We didn't play for a couple of days. So, and no, it wasn't crazy. We just, you know. But you know what? That is one of the most fun nights. Summer, yeah. You'd have to admit, like, everyone was, it was just, and we didn't do anything dumb. We didn't do, yeah. I mean, but it was so much fun. And we paid the price. We were a little sleepy the next morning. I'm sure Coach was pretty upset. But, man, just the whole team together. And I don't know, some of those cats never went out. So it was just so much fun to, you know, I won't say where we went, but it was a good time. Q knows one.
Honestly, I was thankful for the garbage cans.
Honestly, we don't have, I don't want to take your time on this because I do feel strongly about this. You know, when I do speak to teams, nobody cares 20, 30, 40 years later who scored, who did what. It's those memories right there are the ones that bond you forever as teammates, because you think you got in trouble and a little bit of trouble and you never thought they knew. And it was part of that whole escape that, ha ha, we got away with it. But they always knew. It was just a matter of them deciding what they wanted to do with the information. Let me move here, because Chris is on game day with us, and I know you got a big game coming up. You three represent two really special moments in time in NC State women's basketball history. For Chris and Summer, I'll start with you. The 1998 Final Four, your team was the team that finally got one of the last good guys to the Final Four. That's the way I've always described it. It was the one thing on Coach Al's resume after everything that she had accomplished, and that list of accomplishments is long and we could spend all day talking about them. But to take that team to the Final Four and to give her that moment, can you think about that particular postseason and that particular run? Is there any particular moment for you, Summer? Was it winning the regional final and going to the Final Four? Was it actually, you know, pulling into Kansas City with the team? I mean, what was a moment that you shared with her that was unique and special about that Final Four experience?
I think it goes back before that. I think it goes back to the Florida State game that year. We were struggling, and we ended up having a very long meeting down there at Florida State in Tallahassee, and everybody from managers to players to coaching staff aired everything there was. It was a very open conversation that was had. We had a bunch of groups of people that we had to get together. And up until that point, we were not. And we had that meeting and everything got squashed, and we finally started coming together and becoming Coach Al's vision of what could happen. And we did it. We got to Dayton and we had a blast in the hotel, running around, and I don't even know what we were doing in that hotel, but we had a lot of fun. That team ended up being a great group of people that got along, and we did not start that way, but we were able to realize what we all wanted and what we wanted for Coach Al and what Coach Al wanted for us, and I think that's my greatest memory, is that meeting leading up to everything else. Because if that had not have happened, if the coaches hadn't been able to get us together, we would not have been able to accomplish anything that we did that year.
Chris, what do you think about that Final Four run, or, you know, beyond Summer's point was, you know, the next thing after that happened?
Real quick though, Summer, remember we stayed in a Holodome in Dayton. They had the ping pong table.
Yes. Awesome. Yes.
Indoor pool. I felt like I was like in fourth grade. That's what my parents used to do as vacation. We would go to the Holiday Inn in town and go indoor swimming. Thanks, Mom and Dad. You know, we went a long way, but I was like in my glory days of childhood. Oh my God, indoor ping pong, miniature golf. This is awesome. No, but I mean, Summer, you're right, man. That Florida State meeting was intense. But I'm going to take it. That was big. I think, too, a very pivotal moment in that season was at the ACC tournament. You know, we were top 10, top 15 throughout most of the year. And we thought we were going to win the tournament. That was our goal. And Maryland upsets us in the first round and beat us pretty good, double digits, maybe 12 or 13. And I mean, we were devastated, absolutely devastated. And Coach Al gave us 2 days off, but she spoke to us. And, I mean, she really she could have went to one or two ways. I mean, we were crushed. And she just looked us in the eyes and just said, like, there's better days ahead of this team. You know, yes, you know, what is delayed is not denied. And I use that all the time. And that just every time I say that, I get chills because I can hear her say that. And, you know, we took those 2 days off and we came back and we were kind of on a mission. But the most special memory, I think, for me, and I will never forget, is in Dayton in the press room after we beat Connecticut. And one of the reporters just, you know, asked Coach, you know, put into words your emotion and what you're feeling. And Coach just had a tear just streaming down her cheek. And she just said, "My cup runneth over." And I mean, this is a woman that has done everything, you know, Olympic gold medal. And just to be at that table, to be in that press room with her and know we did it. We gave her something that she has longed for. So it's just the feeling of pride. And anytime I think of Coach, that is, it brings me right back to that press room in Dayton and just watching her cry and saying that and knowing that, you know, we got her there. We had something to do with it.
We all feel that when you say that, Chris, and it's emotional because we all had our own moment with her, or many. Marquetta, you and your 2007 teammates accomplished some incredible milestones along the way with her, and we'll run through a lot of those. But instead of going through every one, I mean, I'm just going to say 700 wins, Florida State, beating the number two team, North Carolina. On the night that the court was named after Kay Yao, and she called it the perfect storm because all five starters scored in double figures, and then going on to the ACC tournament and upsetting Duke, the number one team who had not lost. Then you go to the NCAA tournament and you advance to the Sweet 16 with an overtime win over Baylor. I mean, it was an incredible run. And I think all those things that I just mentioned, I was on the call for all of those. So I know what that emotion felt like. And while all those things were happening, neuropathy, gloves, mask, wig, straight from the hospital, IV right before the game, traveling nurse, all these things that she overcame. When you think about that 2007 season, what resonates with you as probably something that would encompass the whole journey?
Perseverance. That's the one word that comes to my mind is perseverance. What a lot of people don't know or think about is that the seniors in 2007, we lost Coach Al on the sidelines twice. The first time was our freshman year, you know, and that second time around, we were a different group of young women. We were way more mature. It was personal to us. We watched Coach Al for our time there really persevere through a lot. I think that the public got to see what we saw just in our senior year, but we had been seeing it before, you know, and so that's the one thing that really stood out to me was perseverance. And I think we all took her perseverance personal. And from there, we wanted to give all that we literally give all that we had to her. You know, I'll never forget Coach Al being rolled out on the stretcher the night before senior night. I still get emotional about it. I'll never forget that. And something in our team, we got really quiet. We all just looked at each other. And after Coach Al left, the emotions in practice and how hard we went was insane. And I think it just carried over to the game. And so when we saw Coach Al in the locker room, like, it's like it's go time. Like it's time to go. We're leaving it all on the line. You'll see my mouth in pictures. I have my mouth is blue. I'm cramping in the middle of the floor. The next game I had a stomach flu. I got an IV before the game. I ended up having my career high that game. I'm like, it's nothing that anybody can do to stop us. The only people that's gonna stop us is us. And we had a different reason to fight. You know, I that was the edge for us. We had a different reason to fight. We had something outside of ourselves to fight for. Going into the playoffs that year, the NCAA tournament, as seniors, we had never gone past the first round, ever. As great of teams we had never gone past the first round. And for us to do that and make it all the way to the Sweet 16, we knew what we were fighting for and who we were fighting for. And she deserved every bit and every ounce of energy that we gave her and more.
As we celebrate Kay Yao and the Play for Kay games this week, there are times when we all, because we knew her so well, we could be emotional about it. But I have changed my attitude to try to celebrate. When you think about the Play for Kay week, and Chris, you'll roll your team out, and Marquetta, you'll roll your team out, and they'll be wearing pink, and your kids will understand why they're wearing pink and what it represents. When you think about this particular week and how we celebrate Coach Yao and her lasting legacy, which is actually living through all of us, what is something that you would want people to know as sort of your parting shot or your give back here as we get ready to close?
For me, it's my most favorite week of the season because I know my players hear about Coach Yao a lot, but we really sit down. We watch, but I make sure they know who she is, and that's, I have such pride in that. But what I think most people know this, but what I would love to, for people to understand is Coach Yao was a phenomenal coach, probably one of the best coaches on the women's side. As good of a coach she was a better human being. And I mean, we all need people like that in our lives. And I think there's such a hole in each one of us that in our hearts that, you know, I know I want to call her so many times, so often, just to hear her voice, just to hear that Southern drawl, and because it made you feel better. And I just, those people are special, and they're few and far between in your lives. And she was amazing. She was one of God's greatest gifts to this earth. And I hate that she went too soon.
Summer, what do you think about when you attend every Play for K game at NC State? I see you there, and I always try to get the camera on you because I think you're just so awesome and represent so much of the greatness that Coach Yao instilled in all of us. What's your celebration point?
I want to piggyback on Chris, just realizing what a fantastic person Coach Yao was. She taught so many people so many things. And it doesn't have anything to do with basketball. We were brought to her because of basketball, but it has absolutely zero to do with it. She is just a wonderful person that it's unfortunate that she's no longer with us, but she does live on through us. And we all have memories of different things that she would say to help get us through a situation that we pass on to people in our lives. And I think that's the best way to keep her legacy going. It's awesome to watch the games on TV, and then, you know, I could be in the kitchen working or whatever, and all of a sudden I hear her voice and my neck snaps just to see her. That's it.
Q.
Wow. I really wouldn't be coaching if it wasn't for Coach Yao. This is my old term, is to, I'll never forget my sophomore year. She tried to get me to take it. We had a minor in coaching, and I'm like, Coach Al, you're crazy. I'm never going to coach. And so after she passed away, the impact she had on my life really hit me. And things happened, and I ended up volunteering at North Carolina Central. And at that moment, I knew why she did what she did. And so that's why I'm here doing what I do and utilizing my platform for something bigger than myself. So my oath to her is to do exactly what she would have wanted me to do and continue to do that. and that's make a difference. Like utilizing the tool of basketball to make a difference in the lives of young women, and then use my platform for something bigger than myself. So every time I step on the court, I think of her. Play for K. I actually played in the first Play for K game. So, you know, those things are, I never forget it and I never take it for granted. And so it means so much to me on a personal level that I sometimes just really can't articulate into words. And so it just turns into emotions. So for me, just showing up with that whistle, you know, every practice, and especially during this week, is just an honor and a blessing and an oath to her and everything that she means to me as a person, but to all of her. She's the pebble and we're the ripple. That's all. You know, she's the pebble and we're the ripple.
Amen, Q. I couldn't have said it any better. You know, I'm the one that, because of my job and my platform, I get to speak on behalf of you guys. And I always hope that I'm doing a good job, because I know every player from the very beginning, from her first teams. It feels like I know all those players to the current team. So I get to span the whole thing. And I couldn't be more proud of all three of you. And if Coach Al was here today, I know how proud she would be of the way you conduct your business and how you influence others by doing the right thing when no one's watching. So thank you for being on the podcast. Next time, we're going to do this with cocktails, and we're going to keep it light, and we're going to not videotape or record, because we're going to really get down and dirty about some of those good old stories that we all know that we kind of keep. And ironically, while I'm doing this podcast, I just happened to glance at the pen that I'm using to write down some notes while we're talking, and it says the Holiday Inn on it, Chris. The Holiday Inn. You guys are the best. Thank you so much for joining us on Nothing But Net. We wish you all well. Keep winning. Keep your teams on a winning roll, whether it's a team on the court or it's your team off the court. And love you guys.
Love you too.
Good luck.
You
too.
Same to you, Q.
Good luck, you guys.
Thank you. Love you guys.
As always, you can send in your questions to Debbie at the email address askantonelli@gmail.com or by using the hashtag Ask Antonelli on Twitter. You can listen to our podcast on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and TuneIn. You can find all of those by visiting our Linktree link in our bio on Twitter and Instagram @MBNWithDA or in the description of this podcast episode below.